Pull out your Bibles. We're going to look at the book of Philippians. We're going to talk about book of Philippians. I'm stumbling over my words there. I'm about to spit out the wrong words. We're going to be looking at the book of Philippians for a few weeks. Today, we're going to look at chapter 1, verse 20 through 26. And this really gives us, this is verses 20 through 26. He gives us some insight into what he's feeling personally. This is the Apostle Paul. Now, just to remind us all of what was going on, Paul is under house arrest awaiting trial so that he can find out if he's going to live or die. He's imprisoned because of some trumped up charges, all right? So before we jump all the way into that, I want to share an old Bubba joke with you, all right? I just want us to have a good time this morning. Bubba goes to a Monday night prayer meeting. Maybe you've heard this one before. He goes to Monday night prayer meeting and Bible study, and after it's over, the pastor said, "Is there anybody who needs prayer?" Bubba comes up, and he says, "Pastor, I need prayer for my hearing." And so Bubba says, "Kneel down." The preacher says, "Kneel down, Bubba," and he puts his left hand on Bubba's right ear, and he prays for him, and then he does the opposite, and he puts his right hand on Bubba's left ear, and he just prays and prays. And finally he says, "Bubba, stand up," and everybody's gathered around, and he says, "Bubba, how is your hearing now?" He said, "I won't know till next Wednesday, preacher." There's a hearing coming at the courthouse for all of you that are catching up. All right. Sometimes you need prayer for your hearing, and sometimes you need prayer for your hearing. You know what I'm saying? And so prayer works no matter what. All right, let's jump into the scripture this morning. Man, I was a slow. I thought you guys would be quicker on the uptake on that one a little bit. So Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 through 26. I want to start with this. Many years ago, a young man went to the Prime Minister of England, Mr. W.E. Gladstone. The young man said, "I want a few minutes of your time if that's okay." He said, "Okay, let's talk." The young man looked at him and said, "I want to study law." And Mr. Gladstone said, "And after you study law, then what?" And he says, "Well, I would like to have entrance into the bar of England. I want to become a lawyer in England." And Mr. Gladstone looked at him and said, "And then what?" And he said, "Well, then I'd like to get a place in Parliament in the House of Lords." And he stopped, paused, and Mr. Gladstone said, "And then what?" He said, "Well, I'd like to make a big difference for my homeland, Britain. I want to do great things." And he said, "And then what?" And he said, "Mr. Gladstone, then I'm going to retire and take it easy." And Mr. Gladstone said, "And then what?" And he said, "Well, I suppose at the end of retirement, I will die." And Mr. Gladstone said, "And after you die, then what?" The young man stepped back just a little bit and said, "I never thought that far ahead." Mr. Gladstone, not very kindly, I'll add, says, "Young man, you are a fool. Go home and think your life through." Now, we would all look at this young guy and we would go, "Man, he's got a plan. Boy, does he have a plan. I mean, he wants to go to school. He wants to be a lawyer. He wants to get elected. He wants to make a difference. He's planning on having a great retirement." But then what? That's what Paul is talking to us today about in this passage. So the question is, what are we really living for? What am I living for? Am I living for the next big thing in my life? What is important in my life today? What's going on right now that's important, but what am I really, truly focused on? Now, when we answer this question, it sort of reveals where we're headed. We know we have to be going somewhere, but where? Where does the plan end? Paul really puts us on the spot with this today. Now, if my purpose is wrong and I'm living for the wrong things, then I end up going in the wrong direction. I got to have the right purpose. If my purpose is vague and fuzzy, my direction is vague and fuzzy, then I could change lanes at any minute if I don't have the end in sight. If I don't know my purpose, then I'm just going to be swept along by the currents of our age. I'm going to let society tell me what's important, and I'm just going to flow in the direction that gives me the most pleasure if I don't have clear direction for my life if I don't know where I'm trying to go? So again, the question is, what am I living for? What is the ultimate goal here? Paul is in prison and he is facing capital punishment. He is facing death. He knows there is a possibility that he will be executed because he is a believer in Christ. Death is staring him in the face. And these verses we're going to read explain that he has made peace with that. And not only has he made peace with it, he's embraced it. He knows what he's about. He knows where he's going. He's got his priorities figured out. He knows what he is living for. He knows what he's all about. And that's how Paul keeps his joy. It's because he knows what he's living for. When I lose sight of what I'm living for, my joy is out the window. So let's look at the scripture. Philippians 1:20, "For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed." He said, "I fully expect and hope that I'll never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or whether I die." Now he uses a couple of very important words here. He says, "I fully expect and I hope." This word "expect" in the original language means to, like a watchman on a tower, he's focused on something out there. He is not. He is actually turning his eyes away from everything else, and he's focused on this one object. Paul said, "I expect. I'm focused on this one thing." And then he says, "I expect. I'm focused, but I got hope." Now, most of us, if we were prisoners, we would be hoping that we'd be released from prison. Paul was not even concerned about it. Paul couldn't have cared less whether he was released from prison or not. He said his hope was something bigger. His hope was this, that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. He's like, I just don't want to get discouraged. I don't want to let that discouragement sink in and take away my joy. I want to be an example and a light for Jesus everywhere I go. He could have asked himself, what am I living for? And he could have very simply answered it. I'm living for Christ. I want to get to heaven. I want other people around me to get to heaven. This is what it's all about. He was focused. He was not focused on this terrible situation. He was focused on something past this terrible situation. He was not letting his current circumstances. Now here he is under house arrest. He is chained to a guard. He knows that people are on the way to testify against him with a bunch of lies. He understands that the Romans probably don't care for him anyway. And so the system is stacked against him. And he says, look, I expect, I'm focused. At the exclusion of all this stuff, at the exclusion of the chains and the imprisonment, at the exclusion of all these people that hate me and want me dead, at the exclusion of all that, I expect and I hope that I'm going to continue, that I will not be ashamed of the gospel, that I will be strong, that I will stand up for Jesus no matter where I go. This is how he kept his joy. Now, what we do in America is pretty simple. When we don't feel good, we try to treat the symptoms. I'm feeling down and out. Let's go to Dairy Queen. I don't want to think about my problems. Where's the Netflix clicker? I don't want to deal with this. Let me cover this up with something else. Paul said, I'm so focused. I just don't want to lose track of where I'm at right now. I want to make sure that I remember every day what I'm living for. And I'm not living for ice cream and Netflix. Now, inherently, if you do that right, nothing's wrong with either one of those, all right? Okay? Nobody loves a double dip cone anymore, all right? But that cannot be where I get my joy. Things that are temporary will only give me temporary joy. Stuff that is temporary will only give me temporary joy. Some of us are going from temporary joy to temporary joy to temporary joy. We're living stressed out, worked up, anxious. And God wants to work in our lives. He wants to give us the joy of the Lord that is beyond our comprehension, that is bigger than we are. But we're unwilling to really focus in and say, what am I living for? So it's a question that's important right now. If you had to ask yourself, what am I living for? What is the ultimate goal here? What's the thing that is most important in my life right now? Paul had that answered a long time ago, which leads us to this next verse, verse 21. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. Now let's stop there. He said, to me, he said personally, for me. And he was really saying, I know not everybody approaches life this way, but for me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. He said, living means I got Jesus in my life every day, and if I die, it gets better. There's going to be something even better. Now look at, I'm going to change versions on you. That was the New Living Translation. I want to give you the English Standard Version. It says this, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ. He said, personally, for me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, Paul wants the Philippian church to remember this so badly that he puts together a little mnemonic or a memory device. He almost puts together a little rap out of this. Now, listen, I'm not breaking out, all right? But he says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, that's pretty simple to remember in English. But let's look at it as what it would look like in the Greek. Let's look at the next screen. So he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So he said, for me to live is Christos, which is Christ. To die is kurdos, which is gain. So here's what he did. He sent to the Philippians this little mantra that they could live by. And if they had moves, which I don't, they could add it to it and they could say, for me to live is Christos and to die is kurdos. To live is Christos and to die is kurdos. Look at somebody and do it right now. Just say, to live is Christos, to die is kurdos. Kay, I love you. You're the only one that did the fist bump with me. All right. He wanted them to remember this. I cannot stay focused if I don't remind myself from time to time. I got to refocus. You ever take a picture and you're like, okay, we're good. It's family reunion time and you got 25 people and everybody's looking in different directions and you finally snap it and you go, okay, we're good. And you look at it 30 minutes later when half the people are gone, you go, my goodness, that is blurry. I can't believe it. We should have had one of the 14-year-olds take this picture. You know, we should have. So it's blurry. It's out of focus. We have to remember from time to time to focus. And that's what Paul's saying. To live is Christos. And to die is kurdos. I want to live. Today is okay. Life is good. He said, I'm imprisoned. I'm chained. I'm all this stuff. But to live is Christ. I got Jesus every single day. But if I die, it gets even better. He understood something. He understood what he was all about. He understood what he was living for. Now, you and I could fill in the blank a little bit if we want to. We could say, for me to live is money, then we got to figure out what happens when I die. If my whole life is about money, if to live is money, then to die is to be broke. If for me to live is pleasure, then to die is painful. If for me to live is power, then to die means I'm weak. I'm powerless. If for me to live is ambition, then when I die, it's just failure. But if I live in Christ, to die is gain. Now listen, we're not getting up a busload of people today to go to heaven, all right? We're not looking to check out today or tomorrow or next month. But we have to be prepared. We got to know what we're living for because it makes us, it helps us keep our focus on the things that are truly important. What am I living for? What is the greatest purpose of your life right now? What's the greatest purpose in your life? It is not building big bank accounts. We know that. It's not being internet famous. Matter of fact, we ought to avoid that one. I don't know. It's not about the stuff that's temporary. The goal is to make sure that our great purpose in life is an eternal purpose. Paul understood it. Paul's like, look, they might come get me tomorrow. They might get rid of me. You may never get another letter from me, and that's okay, because either way, I win. In the end, I win. Why? Not by my power. Power of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He defeated sin and death and hell on our behalf. So if I focus on the wrong things, I end up in the wrong place. You've probably seen the old children's movie and the book of Alice in Wonderland. A lot of us sort of live the way that Alice lived. She said to the Cheshire Cat, would you please tell me which way I ought to go from here? And the Cheshire Cat said, well, it depends a good deal on where you want to get to. And she said, I don't much care where. And then he said, then it doesn't matter which way you go. If I don't know where I'm going, I'm just making decisions today. I'm just doing things, living my own life, and I end up in a place that I didn't intend to be. I end up in a place where my life is not Christ. My life is about me. And I'm lost, and I'm scared, and I'm hurting. You see, I always have time. You know, we're busy. We're all busy. We know that. People say, I didn't have time to call you, or I've said it to a million times. Oh, I was so busy. Listen, we all understand. I had an elderly lady tell me one time, we all make time for the things we want to do. I said, yes, ma'am, we sure do. If it's important to me, I'll make time for it. If it's important to me, I'll focus on it. If it's important to me, I'll get it done. If it's not important, well, that could lay there a long time. I might not deal with that if it's not important to me. If it's not important, I don't care. Jody always says, if you're coming to my house to see me, stop in any time. If you're coming to see my house, let me know ahead of time. You got to know what's important. Some things are more important than keeping everything perfectly straight. Some things are more important than making sure that you rise through the ladder at work. We could name a million things. We all get it. We all understand it. I always have time for the stuff that matters to me. Then look at verse 22. But if I live, Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. All right? And then he says, but if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I don't really know which is better. Now watch this. Has anybody in this crowd ever said this? I'm just thinking, if I die, that'd be awesome. Because I could be in heaven. But it'd really be better for me to stay because the people around me, they really need me to help them and point them to Christ. So I don't, he said, I don't really know which is better. He said, I'm torn. Look at verse 23. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. But for your sakes, it is better that I continue to live. Paul's desire is not for just a change of scenery. Paul wants a new location. He wants to be with Jesus. He wants to be with Christ. He understands what's happened in his life. But he also knows that there are people around him who need him today. Who need him. Now, he has no say over when he dies, when he lives. He has no say over that. His goal, God teaches us, the Bible teaches us just to continue moving forward as long as we are here. So Paul had no control over when he was leaving and how long he would stay. But he understood this, I want to be with Jesus. I'm going to be with him now, but one day, all these worries and fretting and tired and all the things that make me tired are going to be gone and I'll be in heaven. Now, if I understand that and if I have that attitude, then I long to go. I'm looking for heaven. When I was a kid in church, we used to sing a whole bunch of songs about heaven. We used to sing a lot of stuff about I'll fly away and my home in glory land. I'm aging myself right here, okay? They used to sing a whole bunch, and people would get excited in church. Oh, my goodness. Excited? If we say, all right, we're going to sing about heaven today. We don't get as excited about heaven as we want to. Why? Because we got it pretty good. I mean, let's just say it. We got it pretty good here in life right now. You know, we hit some bumps, but we're not dreaming of heaven. And that is when it's most important to stay focused. If I'm dreaming of heaven, then I understand everything about my life is pointing me to that. But when I get a little bit comfortable and things are pretty good here and I'm not dreaming of heaven any longer, I really have to work on focusing then. Paul said, I long to go. It's a picture of breaking camp. It's somebody who's been camped out, and they say, we're pulling up the stakes, we're rolling up the ropes, we're wrapping up the tent, we're moving to the next spot. It's a picture of a ship that is held in place by an anchor. We're pulling the anchor. He said, I long to go. I'm ready. Let's start this journey. I might question, we could question how a person in his right mind would ever look forward to leaving this earth. But Paul understood something. He knew what he was living for. His top priority was spending eternity with Christ and helping others spend eternity with Christ. He understood what his focus was all about. It's a little country song that says, it really talks to the temporary nature of life on earth. It says, life goes on for a little bitty while. Just we're only here for a short time. That's why Paul said this is important. That we're only here for 70, 80, 90, 100 years. I mean, I heard of somebody the other day that were 103, and everybody's like, oh, my gosh, they're old. And they are. And then eternity starts. And that never ends. Not to be scary, but we need to understand. We need to stay focused on the right stuff. Ecclesiastes, the Bible gives us, reinforces this idea over and over and over about the temporary nature of life. In Ecclesiastes 5:15, it says, we all come to the end of our lives as naked and empty-handed as on the day we were born. We can't take our riches with us. He said, look, when you die, there is nothing on this earth. It's just over, all right? 1 John 2:17, and this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. Can we stop there? He said, and this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. What do we crave? We crave stuff that makes us feel better in the moment, temporary stuff. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He said, when I check out of this body, I'm checking in with Christ. Going back to our text, Philippians 1:25, knowing this, I'm convinced that I will remain alive. Now, think about that. He said, knowing all this, he said, you know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I want to go, but I need to stay here for you. He said, knowing all this stuff, I'm convinced that I will remain alive. He said, I know they're not going to execute me right now. Why? So I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. Now, this is important. Paul understood his calling. And I do feel like sometimes there's a big disconnect with us. We get disconnected. A long time ago, we said in the church world in America, we said we're going to hire pastors to do the work of the ministry, right? We're gonna hire somebody so that this can be taken care of, all right? These things can be taken care of. And we forget that God has a calling on every one of us. Paul is traveling here and there, going and doing his thing, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, overseeing and fathering these churches and these people and encouraging them and correcting them and all of these things. And he says, I know, I'm convinced, I'm going to remain alive because I need to continue helping you. He understood that his calling was gigantic. God had something huge for him to do. So he could minister. God wanted to leave him here. So why does all that matter? Because sometimes we get caught up in our career and we forget about our calling. Maybe my career is teacher, but my calling is minister of the gospel. Maybe my career is insurance agent, but my calling is minister of the gospel. My career is coach or carpenter, but my calling is minister of the gospel. No matter where you find yourself in life, where I find myself in life, God has somebody for us to encourage, pray for, mentor, love. We could go on down the list. As Christians, it's so easy to get a bunker mentality. We're just going to all get together and hang out till Jesus comes. We're going to get in here and we're just going to be together. You think like me and I think like you. It's just easier. Paul said, Paul's hanging out with people who disagree with him fundamentally on everything. And yet he, you know what he said? This is a party, man. I'm chained up to this guy. He cannot leave, and I'm telling him about Jesus every single day. This is awesome. He wasn't worried about career. He knew what his calling was. So what's the calling on your life? What is God calling you to do? The focus is, let's don't get ashamed. Let's share the gospel. Let's make sure that heaven and Jesus are the focus. We're going to stay focused. But what am I living for? What are the things right now that God is calling me to do? If you're a mom or a dad, in my opinion, there's no higher calling. You're doing the work, the calling of God on your life. It's important that we do it well. I'm going to be the first one to say, I get it wrong. I get it wrong. I wish I could say, look at me, I'm going to write a book and tell you how to be the perfect dad. I could write a book and tell you how to be not the perfect dad. Probably be easier, all right? When we are walking with Christ, he has somebody in our lives. Somebody in our lives. Who is next to you at work? Who is in your family? Who is in your neighborhood? Who is it in your life that God has you here? Here's the deal. When God gets done with you, he's taking you. This is important. If you go, well, I've done my thing, get ready. He's coming for you. He's got a spot in heaven prepared. Jesus said, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. As long as I'm here, he's got something for me to do. He's got a calling on my life. This life is not about me. Paul explained that our lives are poured out as an offering. We're just going to pour it out for those around us. So, I'm going to ask you this question. And we're going to pray together. What are you living for? What's the stuff right now in your life that is most important? What are the things in your life currently that are more important than anything else? If somebody walked up to you today at the end of this service, as you're walking to your car, and they very pointedly said to you or to me, what are you living for right now that's worth anything? What would you say? What would be on that list? What are you doing right now that's going to count? And you had to answer on, what would be your answer? What is God doing in you right now? What does God want to do in us right now? What am I living for? Paul understood he wasn't living here for himself. He was totally living for other people. There were churches all over the place that had been planted, that were new believers were needing instruction and wanting to grow, and he took them under his wing and he was walking with them. This Philippian church was made up of a jailer and a formerly demon-possessed girl and a rich lady. And more people were being saved all the time. These were not people who came from the same social circles. I want to challenge us. Can I just be real open here for a minute? I want to challenge us. We're headed into election in just a few days. You probably watched the debate last week. At the end of the debate, I hear people saying he won and he won and he said this and he shouldn't have said that and on and on and on, and people just continually grow farther and farther and farther and farther apart. If anything in our lives pushes us to separate from the people who need Jesus, it is not God working in that situation. God wants to move us toward people that are unlike us. Paul is talking to a wealthy woman, a former young lady who had been formerly possessed by a demon, and a jailer in his family. Now, I bet you those people don't come down on the same side of politics. Those people probably have their own special interests. And Paul is giving them the example. Let's stay focused. Let's stay focused. This is about Christ. To live is Christ, not to live as Republican or to live as Democrat. Can we just really say it? One day there will not be any Republicans and there will not be any Democrats. I don't know when that day is coming, but that day will come, because everything in this life is temporary. But Jesus is the constant. Am I representing Jesus in how I approach this election? Am I representing Jesus in how I talk to other people in my life? Am I more passionate about who the president's going to be than sharing Jesus with somebody? We'll stop there. I'm going to back up just a minute. Do I get more fired up about my candidate than I do my Lord? That's a problem. That's a problem. He says, stay focused. He said, I'm expecting. I'm like a watchman on the wall. I'm blocking out everything else and I'm focusing into the distance. I'm going to continue to share Jesus and I'm going to continue to be an example of Christ. As long as I am here, I want to serve God. That's what this is all about. I encourage you to be involved in politics. That's great. But let's don't put politics above the name of Jesus. Let's make sure we know what we are all about. Let's make sure we know what we are living for. Because no matter who the president is in a few days, Jesus will still be Lord. That's what matters in all this. Paul said, I might live, I might die. It's okay either way. I'm good. I'm just going to continue serving. I'm going to continue serving. I'm going to continue. I'm here for you. I got your back, Philippian church. This is about you developing your relationship with Jesus. Here's what I believe Paul wanted. He wanted them to come to the same point. If I live, great. If I die, it's all right too. It might be even better. He even gave them the chant to live by. To live as Christos and to die as Kurtos. To live as Christ and to die as gain. To die as gain. Can we stand, everybody? Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask the band to come on back to the instruments. I want us to sing that last song we sang this morning, if that's possible. This song says the goodness of God. The goodness of God is chasing me. It's a reference to a scripture in the Old Testament. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy are going to chase me down, is what the Bible says. God's goodness and His mercy. He says, I'm so concerned about you staying focused on the right stuff. I'm going to put my goodness and my mercy in your life to help you with it. We're going to sing this together. We're just going to honor the Lord. And I want you just to block everything out for a minute. Let's expect. Let's focus into the future. Let's focus on Him. And let's just take a few minutes and let's just worship Him together. Can we do that? I'm going to come right back after that. Let's do it later.
Fails me, and all my days I am held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up, from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Come on, all my life He's been so faithful. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. in the goodness of God. Oh, all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Come on, you know it's running after you. His goodness is running after you. Your goodness is running.
If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, if you're watching online or you're right here in the building, it all starts by just saying, Lord, I believe in you. I know who you are. I'm ready to surrender. I want you to cleanse me and just change my past. Forgive me for my past so that it's not held against me ever again. And just start walking with it. You pray that prayer in any way that works for you. Just, Lord, I surrender. I'm ready. I want to be lined up with your will and your plan for my life. Maybe you're at that point in your life this morning where you're saying, I'm not in the same situation Paul was in, but man, there's some stuff going on in my life. It's big, and I don't know what to do about it, and I can't say what Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. It just doesn't feel that way yet. I'm just not there yet. We're going to pray this morning. We're going to ask God to start his work. To start his work. So that people look at us and go, they're just weird. They smile. And that things are bad in their life, and they're just okay. They just seem like, here's what I want to live like. I want us as a church to live like a group of people. Other people say, you know what, I think I'd like to be like them. Whatever they got, whatever they're drinking, I want some. Not drinking anything. Just accepting the blood of Jesus to wash away our sins and set us free. So we're going to pray. Let's just release it to him right now. Let's do it. Father, we thank you for all you've done already. Lord, if there's anybody listening this morning who just needs to start their relationship with you, I pray, Lord, that you just speak to them right now. You draw them in, that they would start their journey with you just by surrendering their life and putting their faith in you and believing in you and trusting you, Lord. We ask you for that. We trust you for that. Lord, we pray for any person that is struggling, that is worried, that is afraid this morning, that you would give them the peace of God that passes all understanding. That they would have the joy of the Lord that is their strength. It was the joy of the Lord that was Paul's strength in those horrible circumstances. And the same joy you gave him, you are still giving believers and followers of Christ today. And we ask for it, Lord. And we thank you for all you're doing. We thank you for all you've done. And we receive your help in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.